I changed my name. Oh.
Nope, we're recording already. Welcome to a brand new episode of Drag the Leg. I'm your host, Andy Malafrina. With me, as always, the late, great Pat George. Pat, how you doing? Also, Pat is also a host. I said that wrong. Patrick is the co-host. We're a 50-50 split. If we ever end this podcast, we will get joint custody of the podcast. You will get the podcast on the week, and I will be the fun weekend co-host.
I want Monday through Thursday. You get Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. You're definitely gonna drive the podcast to school. I'm gonna buy it a whatever the new Nintendo is and say, does Pat ever talk about me?
Does Pat have any fun uncles that he talks music with?
has Pat been bringing friends over to talk music with while has I'm Pat not?
Has Pat talked about NoFX with anybody lately?
Wait, are you telling me? Has Pat talked to other men about Dance Gavin Dance in
Wait,
our bed?
You literally have another Pat, so you don't get to say that thing with me. You have another Pat. I don't
oh,
have
see, yeah, this with this. What I'm doing right now with you is a joke. I do have another Pat I talk to about hardcore music. We're doing it this morning, dude. We're this morning
Before
at the gym.
Before this, I'm getting sloppy seconds,
bro. I was texting other Pat about fucking bench pressing.
I love bench pressing.
Nah, I don't know, dude. Not as much as Pat number one.
Dude, I press so many benches, bro.
I mean, I wouldn't say so many, but a fair amount.
A good amount, like a respectable amount. You wouldn't be like, that's barely any presses.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an amount where you'd look at and go like, that's not that many benches. It's a respectable amount of benches, but would I be blown out of the water with the number of benches? I don't know, Patrick.
Just for perspective, most of the time when you tell me about an accomplishment and your weightlifting goals, I spend the first probably 3/4 of the conversation going, trying to picture what the fuck you're explaining. You're like, dude,
I can't picture. You can't picture bench press
squats. I did a vertical dead squat overhead, and I'm like, "What? Yeah, me too, man. I die all the time inside." I'm like,
"Guys,
fuck,
I'm dead. I'm dead inside right now.
I do dead inside lifts all the time." But to answer your question, Andy, I'm doing splendid, buddy.
That's how you get out of bed in the morning when you wake up and you scroll through TikTok for the first 30 minutes because you're sad. Yeah. When you finally get out of bed, that's the dead inside lift.
Yeah. When you go, that little grunt that you have to do when you push off your knees to get out of bed.
That is the treacherous cycle of life where you're just scrolling through social media all day. And you're just like, I got to stop doing this, blah, blah, blah. I'm fucking doing too much social media. I can't stand this, yada, yada, yada. And then you just wake up and the second you're not even out of bed, you like you turned your alarm half a second ago off. And now you just immediately boom Twitter. And you're like, I didn't even give myself a chance. What I mean? I didn't even give myself a chance to get this day going. I immediately was like, nope. On my bullshit before I've even like, you know, fucking moved my muscles enough.
I didn't let the blood hit my toes yet, man. I didn't put my feet on the ground and I'm already bummed out because everybody's fighting.
The blood hasn't even gotten past my knees. And I'm already deciding to be sad.
I gotta tell you, I think this will tickle your conspiracy theory brain a little bit before we start talking about the what's happening to Devil Wears Prada and also our newest debate on which band is better. If I may, I was watching The Silence of the Lambs, and you know that 40-year-old movie. I was watching Silence of the Lambs, and I was thinking. I didn't realize.
Actually, no, you don't have to. That's not why I was laughing. That's a good movie to watch. Dude, yeah. I watched fucking.
I just watched Red Dragon yesterday, by the way.
I literally watched Terminator last night.
Oh, really? How'd it hold up?
It was goofy and silly, but it was still a fun fucking movie. Like, you just have to make a good. Just have a good time. It doesn't need to.
It still needs to be a good story. Like, the story still works, even if the graphics are shit. As long as like it's believable that this weird clay blob would be chasing somebody, you can be like, oh yeah.
Even the story was like beyond simplistic. It's literally like, I need to kill.
Are you Sarah Connor? No. Are you Sarah Connor? No.
Well, the story is literally like, this guy needs to kill Sarah Connor. And then the other guy's like, "We're not gonna let you kill Sarah Connor." That's most of the story,
right?
But it was just the way it was executed was done in like it just felt like it was done in an honest way, like artistically honest way. I don't know if that sounds corny or not, but it was just it was enjoyable. I liked every second of it. I was having a fun time, and now I want to watch Terminator 2 because Steph keeps telling me that's the better one.
It is probably the better one. That's one of the only sequels I think actually is better than the original. There's very few, but if I may, Silence of the Lambs, I wanted to see initially how, because they do that weird thing in Red Dragon, which is a remake from Manhunter from years and years ago. It's a prequel to Silence of the Lambs, and it's basically with Ed Norton. And at the end of it, they're like, "Hey, BT Dubs, Hannibal, there's this broad here that wants to see you. She's really pretty. Her name's Starling." And then they go, "Ooh, that's like Silence of the Lambs." And I fucking fell for it because I was like, "I'm going to watch Silence of the Lambs now." So I'm watching
Red Dragon's pretty good, right?
It's fucking great. It's better than Silence of the Lambs, in my opinion. And they definitely had a second crack at a movie that was already made and something to go off with Hannibal or with Red Dragon to kind of like bump it up a bit. But it's awesome. But I didn't realize that special agents go to like basically boot camp, because I also watched Full Metal Jacket recently. It's a lot like boot camp, but with like less yelling, and they still know how to like kill efficiently. They're ripped. They're fucking doing like running and fucking drills and all this other shit. And like, I knew they had to learn tactics and shit like that, but then you send them into a job. And this is the part that I think is going to tickle your fancy. They send them into a career where they have to almost exclusively think like the craziest sociopaths and psychopaths and get in their head and get their mindset.
Yeah.
Is that really the best model? Do you know what I mean? Like one of the examples.
No, not at all. Well, it's the same. Well, it's the same reason. Like it's the same reason there's like a big problem with cops where it's like, all right. So then, Like one of the big problems with cops is like, all right, we're going to give them a little bit of training, and throughout the year, we're not going to give them requirements on shoot, like on gun safety and gun practice. And then also we're going to make them work crazy shifts and crazy hours and stuff like that. And then also they're going to get paid like what, 50K, however much a cop gets paid. And now make sure you don't steal the money.
About your family, think about the community exclusively, the whole community.
And then your whole job is to go into these over-the-top stressful situations that most people have never been a part of ever.
Yeah, here, have some training, here's a gun. Now go control some of the craziest situations you could ever imagine. Go on now.
And I'm not necessarily defending cops because I got a lot of problems with cops, but also at the same time, the way that the system is set up, and this sort of ties into what you're saying about FBI agents and stuff like that, the way that the system is set up is if you want to go in and being a cop and you want to do a real good job, the system and the bureaucracy is set up in a way that you have to be like a literal angel of a human being to actually do a good job. And then if you're one of those people, they're just going to hit you with roadblocks and roadblocks and roadblocks. A perfect example, this guy
cut off wiener meat and put it on all these kids' faces before he raped them all. And you're like, oh, cool.
Go investigate that and be normal now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, go solve this crime before it happens again. There's a timeline.
Perfect thing you guys got to watch is, We Own This City with John Bernthal. Really gives you a good spotlight of how, how the whole system of policing, whether you want to do a good job. It's like essentially if you want to do a good job, the system of policing goes, sorry, bro, you can't. And if you want to be a shady, corrupt motherfucker, the system's like, have at it, bucko. Yeah,
do that, and then if we catch you, you're in big trouble, pal. And we're not gonna stand up for you until
we're gonna act super. Well, they shouldn't.
We're gonna
they
be like, what?
What? Well, that's the thing. They shouldn't stand up for him. But it is ironic when they go, wait, what? What are they doing?
Yeah.
What are they doing? Yeah, definitely go watch. Fuck, I was gonna make another point about We Own the City, but oh, that's right. There, like, there's and this, I've read about this happening 1,000 times. There's this in the beginning of the show, they're trying to figure out, you know, they're trying to like figure out the roots of corruption and yada yada yada, and like why more people don't report this stuff or whatever the fuck, or nothing happens, and they go talk to this one cop who was trying to report other corrupt cops. And a lot of stuff that happens when you do that, if you start trying to do the right thing, and a lot of the people who are up high who don't want you to do the right thing, oh, you just magically noticed, all right, we're going to give you a couple shitty night shifts.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go, oh, you want to do a good job? Well, you're going to go do this job, which you're essentially being security for, like, an old...
You're on parade duty.
What's the thing called when they take like a historical spot that like the city deems like we need to keep this how it was? Yeah. Like, you basically work security for some shit like that. So the way that the system is set up, it's you essentially have to be an absolute angel of a human being to find to create a good outcome. So to bring it back to like the FBI stuff and like that, it's like, yeah, if you're going and seeing all this crazy fucking shit, and that's the same, you're going to see all this crazy fucking shit, it's definitely going to fuck you up. And that's another thing that coincides to why in a lot of these cases of these more fucked up or either more fucked up cases or cases seeming more fucked up, you'll have a lot of dudes will get blinders. Because can you imagine if you showed up to a case and say you saw like some children's bodies who were like mutilated? Like, a great example is the West Memphis 3. You show up, you see these like dead kids in a river.
And then trying not to jerk off.
And then you're like, yeah, it's next to impossible. But
come on, guys, turn around. A little privacy, huh?
You see these, and before anyone goes, all right, Andy, we get it, let's talk about music. Pat started this. And
I did start that. That's my fault.
This right here is his fault. But anyway, no, so if you see something like the West Memphis 3, and like, dude, can you imagine showing, and I'm not, like, they've definitely did some fucked up shit to the dudes that they claim did that shit. But I will say this, in like, I could see in a case like that, bro, can you imagine showing up and you see like 3 dead kids' bodies and you have this whole town being like, solve this fucking case.
Yeah.
Like, and
my daughter died. Hurry.
You could get like crazy blinders on and end up just fucking the whole thing up because you want it. Now, that's not necessarily the case in the West Memphis 3, maybe, but I could see, generally speaking, you get these fucking blinders on and just, you know, put the wrong guy in because you just need a resolution to this horrible, horrible event.
Yeah, I think ultimately that was my biggest takeaway from watching Silence of the Lambs, except for the fact that it didn't completely link up with Red Dragon. It was the fact that it was just a solid, pretty movie. Also, check out Silence of the Lambs and Red Dragon. Try to watch them in order. I'm kind of dreading watching Hannibal. I don't remember liking it very much.
Hello, Yardell. I'm gonna eat your face.
Fucking Gary Oldman. Sorry.
No, I
figured I'd bring it back to media. I was trying to rein it back into
I'm sorry, I don't remember. I don't know if I saw Hannibal, so what you were doing, nothing happened in my head.
it was a guy that I think was dating Hannibal and ended up getting mutilated by him. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think and then I think did they make a movie after that?
I don't know if they made another one after Hannibal. I think Hannibal.
Wait, was that the one where and then he went and did stand up and he reminded everyone that Bill Cosby raped all those women, right?
Yeah. I think that was a YouTube short.
Am I mixing that up with something else?
I don't think so. No, I think you're on track. Yeah. That was basically, and then he went to jail, but then he got out because it turns out that they messed up some paperwork. And Hannibal's actually out free right now, but he's saying he's innocent.
Oh yeah. And that brings it back, actually. I know I was joking, but that brings it back to the earlier conversation where it was just like, you can have all this fucking evidence on Bill Cosby, but it was like, oop, we made a whoopsie doozy collecting it.
Yep.
We made a whoopsie doozy collecting it. So now he's completely free.
And when you have the, like, that's the funniest thing, because you said bureaucracy, and And I swear to God, Andy, this is might be the dumbest realization I've had today, and it's early. But is the fact that I was like, bureaucracy. Dude, they're literally a bureaucracy.
Yeah.
So that's honestly, that's one of the biggest, that's actually in a weird way, one of the saddest things about the way the government works is a lot of people look at it, and obviously there's a lot of evil people in there, but a huge chunk of it is the bureaucracy creates these like shitty incentives. Mm-hmm. So like if I was reading a book about the FBI, if you look at like the FBI or if you look at any of these groups, they have to validate their existence, and to validate their existence, they have to keep showing that they need a little bit bigger of a budget every year. Right. They need a little bit bigger of a budget. So how does the FBI show that they need a bigger budget? Well, they need to keep showing that they're more useful. So
you think it's cheap killing civil rights leaders? Come on.
All right. You think it's cheap calling up their wives, telling them they're cheating on them?
Come on, man. We got to bug all these rooms. We got to figure out which hotel he's in. You know, I mean, we got to do the trajectory and everything.
Yeah, they're trying to come at Martin because he was fucking getting a little sniz on the side. I'm sorry. If you're fixing race relationships back in those times, you get a little extra pussy in my book.
You can plow at least two extra vajas. If
you get an extra slice of poon, if you at ask least me.
Per area.
Bare minimum, you get an extra piece.
If you walked into that town from another town, you get some poon. You earned it. Not everybody in the line, but the guy in the front, for sure.
You're telling me a million men are going to march and not one of them
can get a little poon pain.
Extra slice.
Just a little bit of sliz in there.
Yeah, just cut off a piece for the boy.
Cut a little piece out for Luther.
Marty earned it, you heard.
What is going on? I came to a weird realization that I was very militaristic in which the way that the FBI was run, in my opinion, and so I figured I would bring that upon you because I know you would have had a take on it. Also, with them being trained to be such efficient killers, they really botched Waco. Go on.
Some would say they didn't botch Waco because that's how they wanted it to go. But I digress.
I think that's hindsight is 2020. They're like, yeah, mission accomplished.
Botched is a relative term depending on what the outcome you wanted to be.
For more of that, check out No More Heroes.
The last thing I was gonna say about like the FBI is like the problem with all those government bureaucracies is government makes these different organizations because they found something they deemed a problem.
Right.
So they need that organization to quote unquote fix a problem. And when those organizations get created, they don't want to not be there anymore. So they have to show that they need to be there. And to show that they need to be there, they need to prove that they need a little bit bigger of a budget every year. So at a certain point, if there's no just natural problems to solve, there's an incentive to create problems. And it doesn't start off as like, oh, let's just fake all this stuff. I'm not even saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying it's like, you're an FBI. Okay, let's find some terrorists. All right, let me go onto deep 4chan boards or whatever the fuck. Oh, look at here. Is this a mentally challenged autistic guy quoting ISIS? Let me call him up and fucking give him a bunch of money and keep egging him on to keep going down this route. Yeah. And then the only way that he could possibly do the shit that I've hyped him up to want to do is if I give him a bunch of money. You know what I mean? I'm just saying it's...
Yeah.
You know, the government only exists if there's problems that they perceive, and to keep going, they have to make more problems. Anyway, which podcast is this again?
This is Chew the Gum with Pat and Andy. We weren't even supposed to be talking politics or music. It was really just gum. I was going to talk about the...
Well, and dude, I'm sorry, but as your favorite band, the Rolling Stones, say, start me up. I'll never stop.
Oh, man. I have to write the Rolling Stones now?
You better put that in the playlist. Oh, let me say this. We've been a little and I'll take I'll take the blame on this because Pat's been working hard and making all those playlists and shit. They would not be there if Pat was not doing them. But I have been bad about posting them in the comments everywhere. As of this moment, everywhere Drag the Lake can be found, there are links to all the playlists. And if you're like, what the heck are you talking about, bucko? Well, what I'm talking about is every time we do an episode, we talk about music the whole time. Even if it's not like a main topic, like today we want to talk about the Devil Wears Prada and then some other bands and stuff like that. If we mention like a side, like how I just made the joke about the Rolling Stones, Pat yeah. writes that down. He throws it in the playlist. So there'll be like a playlist every episode that coincides with all the bands mentioned. And if you go to all the different posts of Drag the Lake, they are updated and they will be updated in the future from now on.
Nice. Hell yeah. I appreciate that. The appreciation on your end, and don't beat yourself up over it. Because I've been trying to post it wherever I've been advertising the podcast or telling people about it. I've been listening to the playlist myself because some of them, I kind of just let it guide me and just pick songs at random. I try to pick certain songs if we talk about particular songs and add those. But also, I would love in a future, like if we ever do a live element where we're streaming this in some case, I want to do a fan playlist of like suggestions that they just give us. And just do all fan ones, because really that's the biggest thing about this. I've since we started this podcast, I've learned about a lot of bands just by just happenstance, or like, oh, this reminds me of this, or this reminds me of that. Counterparts is another one, and some other bands like that came up that I don't think would have just come up naturally. They may have, but like the fact that like those are the corners that I like to find. Like, yeah, Lamb of God is a big band, but like also there's smaller bands, at least, or newer bands, like Counterparts. I don't mean smaller. To say, like...
Nah, dude. I was watching a video where the Counterparts lead singer was like, he was making a joke. He was like, please listen to my band. I want to stop having to put The Dentist on my emergency credit card. They're definitely... Yeah. They're an amazing band, but they're definitely a little bit smaller. They're getting up there, though. Sorry.
No. That's what I'm saying, though, is like the fact that, like, going back to like kind of revisiting, like going back to shows and appreciating music and shit like that. This has helped me kind of appreciate and find new music in a different way. So like people that are listening or watching the show or anything like that, if you have a band or a song or anything like that, that's save it up, because if we ever do a live thing, I want to just like pound off in the comments, give us all those, and all of those will be added to a playlist, because I personally, sometimes when I, like I said, I go by random, like just Rolling Stone. I don't know a good Rolling Stone song, but like if you just pick them at random, sometimes you actually find some really cool shit. So I'm excited.
Well, band like the Rolling Stones are one that you're almost like definitely go into them with like the deep cuts. You know, you've heard every fucking.
I've heard the big ones. Yeah.
You've heard the big ones. Like I was thinking about that with Spotify. They have this cool. Well, it was cool at first, and now I think they need to tweak it a little bit. It's in beta, so it's literally there to be tweaked.
Yeah.
But they have this have you gotten it yet? It's the Spotify DJ?
No, I don't think so. What is that?
Yeah, it's if you go onto Spotify, mm-hmm. if you just go into
Oh, we're both looking at our phone. Sorry, I thought you were explaining it. I thought you were gonna walk me through it, but you're like, oh, I gotta look at it.
No, I'm pulling it up. If you go into Spotify, if you go to music,
mm-hmm.
sorry, being a boomer. but if you go, yeah, for me it always pops up on the front page, and if you look at the where my finger is. DJ comes up, and it's actually kind of fun because he's really nice.
You and Andy, you're here with your DJ X.
Oh my god, he is so nice.
I brought together a few artists for you. ASAP.
Oh wait, I don't want the fucking
what?
I don't want the copyright thing to get fucking.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because it's but yeah, it's like.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's like, I'll be honest, in the morning, especially early in the morning when I'm like, I don't want to be fucking awake, da da da. And then you've hit play and then you hear the Spotify DJ like, how you doing, Andy?
Hey,
let's get this day heckin' started. And you're like, all right, all right, AI, God, that will rule my life soon.
This is what those Peloton nerds are fucking talking about. They're like,
hey, man, let's get up there and fucking climb this mountain, guys.
Well, like, I've said this before. I've said this before, dude. You can hijack your brain with fake positivity. You know what I mean? If you just hit yourself with fake positivity for enough, your brain goes, wait, I think we're actually in a good mood. And you're like, we're not, but let's fucking ride it out.
Yeah, let's fucking go.
But then, so my only problem with the Spotify DJ is it's cool in concept, but then they'll be like, all right, let's play some shit you've been listening to a shitload already. And you're like, I don't want that. I've already listened to it a bunch. And then we'll be like, all right, let's check out one of Spotify's curated classic hip hop playlist. And then you start hear like Notorious by B.I.G., which not a bad song at all, but you're like, guys, this song's gonna come up like Notorious. It's like when you listen to, this is why the radio fucking sucks, because you'll turn on the radio, and I got no beef with Red Hot Chili Peppers, but who the fuck wants to hear Under the Bridge for the 5 millionth fucking time?
Yeah,
stop playing Under the Bridge, stop playing Back in Black, stop playing like every fuck, like it's gonna come up in my life, Under the Bridge. Just fucking like, no one wants to fucking hear that anymore.
I think there's an element, because I do understand what you're saying, but when was the last time you listened to Notorious by Notorious B.I.G.? Besides the last Conor McGregor walkout.
No, it's just I can't tell you. Well, no, I know it's come up, but it's just I've heard that song so often that it's like, just can we not keep like stop suggesting me? Oh, what am I gonna? Oh, you're gonna play nothing but a G thing? Wow, that's exciting. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even saying they're bad songs. I'm just saying, like, can we change? Maybe I'm a little too deep into this shit, because there's probably a bunch of people being like, I like Notorious. I like nothing but a G thing. You know what I mean? Shit like that. I don't know. There's something about it where I'm like, this is what your fucking magical AI has thought up, that I want to hear The Chronic.
You want to kind of be like, come on, AI, please, AI, just AI, would you go on?
Yeah.
AI, you know, because it's anytime I get a suggestion. But dude, do you want to know? I don't know, because I've lost fucking count of the number of times I have thumbed down or asked them to stop suggesting Fugazi songs. I don't like Fugazi. It is the literal term or definition of Fugazi. You're fucking fucked. Your AI is fucked if you continue to give Andy shit that he likes but doesn't want to listen to, and keep giving me shit that I don't like and don't want to listen to.
Yeah,
like I couldn't have made it more clear. I don't necessarily love Minor Threat. I like them. I think they're good. I do not like Fugazi. I don't like them.
Yeah, so no, I hear you.
If it's, but I continue. So it's the same thing that, like, I don't know if there's like a weird kind, and this is clearly and very, very, I want to make this very clear, speculation on my point. This is something that I think maybe is a thing. Maybe the algorithm is built to push certain bands more than other ones. I don't think that Fugazi would be a band that would like pay them to push themselves more, or their record label or whatever it is. But
can I?
I think that there's like some weird thing going on where like the AI is pushing a weird like fucking musical narrative on us.
Well, no, let me say that that's so funny, because now you're going in the like almost a conspiratorial way that I should be going. Here's what I think it is, because I've been thinking about AI a lot lately, and I heard this one dude explain AI, like the way ChatGPT works, is people, this is why everyone, here's my thing about AI, like I don't actually think it's technically ever going to become sentient, but I think it's going to get to a point where it's like, whatever it is, it's like, what's the fucking difference? You know what I mean? But it's just going to be, so from the way I understand AI, it's just high frequency or like super fast pace equations happening.
Okay.
So, like, if you type into ChatGPT, I heard, do you know Tim Pool?
No, not off.
He's a political guy. I was listening to his shit, and he was breaking down ChatGPT. And the way the example he used, it's like if you go into ChatGPT and you go, give me a standard fairy tale. Well, ChatGPT, based off the order of those words, and the question mark, and all the information it gets from you putting that question in that order, it then puts, like, does all the math equations, and you go from these letters in this order in this way, what's the most likely response gonna be? And then it goes, what's the most likely first word to respond to this? And based off that first word, what's the most likely second word? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just super high pace, high frequency math equations going on. So to bring that back to music, what I believe, I don't know for sure, but what I believe Spotify is doing is they're going, you're going, please stop. Like, you're going, please no thank stop. You're going, no thank you on Fugazi. And they're like, they take that into account, but the other information coming in is saying, yes, please on Fugazi. So
yeah, they're like, Pat, you really like Fugazi. I'm like, yeah, no, like, I don't. I'm like, no, we're pretty sure you like Fugazi.
So that's what I believe Spotify is doing. They're getting all that information of, like, they're like, yeah, but based off the whole, you want to hear Fugazi.
Yeah, you're gonna like it. Have you listened to this one? No, I don't fucking like them. And that's the thing. I think the equation that they typed in for my particular AI is fuck plus Pat equals fucking nonstop Fugazi, nonstop. And it has to stop because I haven't. It's not even please stop anymore, Andy. I'm almost ready to fucking report this shit. Because
you need a rape whistle.
I'm sorry. I stepped on that. Please.
You need to get a Spotify rape whistle.
I need help. I need something. I swear to God, my morning DJ guy is going to be like, hey, Pat, have you ever heard of this band Fugazi? And it's going to be like, no, I don't know what it is, but they're out to get me. And it feels like my AI is particularly trolling me. and I need it to stop because,
well, that's
I can't politely thumb down. They took out the thumb down thing on Spotify, so now it's hide song. And anytime, and you know, I told you about my pre-show superstition. Anytime I'm on my way to a performance, anytime I'm doing stand-up comedy in front of the lovely people, I don't skip a song. It's whatever I play. If I put it on random, whatever I pick is that's got
to
be it.
So it's just you spazzing out to Fugazi.
Well, I have one exception. I can't skip a song, but I can delete it from my library forever and by hiding the song. It can't skip. I can't just simply go, not now. I have to go never because it's that egregious. And that has been done to Fugazi. Putting into turmoil my possible now bombing because did I skip a song, does this count anymore? I don't even think it counts with Fugazi anymore because I've made it clear to the universe, to all the computers, please listen to me, no more Fugazi. I'm gonna just scream it. I'm gonna spend the rest of the day walking to my house screaming at all my devices, no more Fugazi.
Word. Yeah, definitely. That's a good calling card for this episode. No more Fugazi. Pat, let's move on to the other thing you wanted to talk about. Let's skip Devil Wears Prada because I have to go see the parents and I have to clean myself, but I really want to talk about this shit.
This is a game changer.
You wanted to bring we had Misfits versus Gwar.
Mm-hmm.
Very controversial episode. In my heart, I feel like I won, but based off the
there's no winners or losers.
Based off the
says the guy who won.
Oh, dude, that's my God! I could go on that sort of concept forever. No, dude, there's nothing I hate more. I hate more in this world when you see people who like fucking succeeded beyond all belief, and they're like, just follow your passion, and you're like. You're like, what if no one likes my passion?
That's the thing.
What if I'm really, really bad at it?
I was just talking to Dom about this last night. It was just like one of those things. I'm like, but how? How?
What if I'm just bad at it?
But anyway, so yeah, you came out based off public opinion. You came out victorious on the Guar versus Misfits, but you've brought a new one to it. So I want to toss it to you. Hit me with it, Patty Andrew, baby.
I appreciate it, pal. And I know at first, initially, you were not necessarily for the comparison, and I had to kind of sell you on the comparison. I hope that this one is going to be a little bit easier because I feel like these guys are in a brand new genre. Yeah, that's right. I'm introducing another new genre. That's right. Are you ready for this?
Debuting live on Drag the Lake.
Both of these guys fall into the same category known as drug chug.
Holy shit. Holy shit. That's all right.
Are you ready?
I mean, now this is all just going to be extra credit.
Who's the kings of drug chug? Is it Tool? Or is it Meshuggah?
Damn. That's pretty on point.
Yeah. If you want some trippy fucking metal that's going to blow your mind, and yes, you will need a little bit of assistance by pharmaceuticals, you're going to go to either one of these bands. I feel like both of these bands are titans of this industry. And I think there's one band that pulls a little bit ahead. And if I may make my case for a little band known as Meshuggah. Not Meshuggahna, which I've said mistakenly, probably the entire time never listening to them, only recently finding them, and finally discovering a band that I thought would never exist.
I just want to
complete this thought because this is a thing that blew my mind. I've said this so many fucking times on the show. A band that I love, Refused, is a band that I thought could never truly be mimicked or even like have a band go like they remind me of Refused. Meshuggah out of nowhere I was like this reminds me so much of early Refused hardcore, like really hardcore when they stuck to the chuggy wuggies, they had all that stuff. Never not a drug chug band in my opinion, but I'm like, what, that's so weird. So I start researching them a little bit. Meshuggah started in 1987 in Umeå, Sweden, the hometown of Refused. Who started?
When did Refused start?
3 years later. Or no, sorry. 4 years later. 1991.
Yeah. That's crazy. You know what's funny is it's not that crazy. You know what I mean?
How many incredible bands are in Umeå, Sweden? Two.
When you think about something like that, you start to realize it's actually not that crazy.
Yeah.
Like a perfect example, I always love bringing up this one where the first time I listened to Milo Goes to College, I went, oh yeah, that's why Blink-182 sounded like that.
Right.
And then if I'm remembering correctly, I believe the Descendants and Blink-182 started off in the same general area.
Yeah. And I think probably near each other, like time-wise, probably a little bit after, probably like the same thing, probably like 4 years.
I'm gonna look
after.
That up just to be sure.
Okay, yeah, but no, I
sidebar, speaking of Descendants, the band Drain just did a cover of them and it's amazing. Anyway,
oh yeah, I saw that.
Throw that on the list.
I think there's a cool correlation. So not only do I get to find probably a root inspiration for one of my favorite bands, just being fellow band members in the same town. Go ahead.
Manhattan Beach, California is where Descendants are from.
But what was the year they were founded and the year Blink was founded? Does that come up?
Descendants started in 1977. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. They were early on. They were around the same. I think they're in the same class as like Black Flag and them, right? No, they were after them. 1977? That can't be right.
That doesn't make any sense. Oh, no. They formed in 77. So they're probably like high school kids fucking around.
Yeah.
Milo Goes to College doesn't come out till 82.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That makes a lot more sense. So 19-
that's kind of, not to get sidetracked, but Milo Goes to College, I didn't realize that came out in 82. That's kind of crazy when you go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
That's how I felt when I realized the first Dillinger album was in 99.
That kind of, yeah, that is a little strange.
That's some ahead of your time bullshit.
But there's that's a lot of these bands like Refused. I guess Meshuggah must have been. I haven't done a deep dive as far as like going, you know, like by year, album by album and stuff like that. But if you go to either one of Tool or Meshuggah's categories or catalog, sorry, and just hit random and just you'll see the similarities in the bands. The drug chuck genre is a rhythmic, and I don't mean it because it's not simplistic, but it's very simple melodies or rhythms that are like,
it's repetitive,
tribal. It's almost tribal in a way of like these like drum beats, like, but matching.
That's a really good way to put it, because like they're not simple things to play, but the song structure is simple.
Yeah,
because like
the notes. Tool, yeah, the notes are pretty simple. Yeah, but they're
like, if you listen to the perfect example for a band like Meshuggah, which, by the way, what you said earlier, if I guarantee you, I would, if you could do a poll, I bet you more people call him Meshuggah than call him Meshuggah.
Yeah.
I literally just realized today I've been calling him Meshuggah the whole time. Yeah. And that's not their name.
And they definitely aren't.
But a perfect example is like the big song Meshuggah wrote, Bleed. Like the craziest fucking double bass part. It's literally like, I think it's the gold standard on if you're actually like fucking good at double bass or not. Like you can do a lot of cool shit, but if you can play Bleed by Meshuggah, that's like the gold standard on if you're fucking elite at double bass on the drums. But song structure wise, it's just that really hard measure over and over and over again. So that makes sense to what you're saying. Tool does the same thing too. They create a really complicated rhythm and do it over and over. Yeah. They do it over and over again, yes, to create a, that would make sense, to kind of create a rhythmic tribal feel, which would coincide with what you were saying, like a more favorable, a crowd that's more favorable to drugs and stuff like that, and create that drug chug vibe. You're blowing my goddamn mind, because I got to be honest, when you brought up this topic, I was like, all right, I'm gonna let Pat go off on this, because I have I have no real passionate opinions about Meshuggah or Tool. I never really got too into Tool, and Meshuggah was popular before I listened to that type of music. And funny enough, so I started the day off today. You know, we were joking about it earlier. Sometimes the fucking boohoo swipe you too early. I woke up with a black cloud over the head, and you know, going to the gym, working on, be like, get the heck out of here. And my boys in Kublai Khan were getting me through the fucking morning. They're getting me through the fucking morning. I love myself some fucking slow, tough guy, beat down, hardcore nonsense. It really gets you in the right headspace you need to physically assault the day.
Yeah.
And I had an interesting experience to Meshuggah where I'm listening, like first half of my workout, I'm listening to a bunch of Kublai Khan, and I'm enjoying the Kublai Khan TX, technically. I'm enjoying the hell out of that. And then I switched over to Meshuggah and started listening to Meshuggah and Tool to get ready for the pod. And I was laughing. I was just like, Meshuggah to me sounded like if you took out what I liked about Kublai Khan and made it more technical. The way I kind of spaced it out in my head, Meshuggah sounded like Godsmack trying to write Kublai Khan songs.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
and then Tool, I gotta get Godsmack back. They played it at the gym one time, and I gotta be honest, I don't listen to a lot of Godsmack, but the chorus to I Stand Alone. The fucking chorus to I Stand Alone, I'll fucking defend that every day of my goddamn life. Stand Alone. That's what people forget about a lot of those like butt rock type bands. Those dudes can still kind of sing.
Yeah, that power butt, like that power butt voice, like was a huge, that was a, he was a powerhouse of a voice. And that was what was the now get away? Remember that one? Wasn't that another? Now go away.
Goes back to what I was saying. I don't know shit beyond I Stand Alone. I don't know fuck all about Godsmack, but I Stand Alone fucking rips. And I'll defend that till the day I die.
I may give them, they may end up in our algorithm right after we finish the show. So who knows? We may be
doing. If I Stand Alone is not on the playlist, I'll kill myself.
Don't worry. So this is.
By the way, that's my new favorite thing.
Yeah, just being like, I'm going to kill myself.
Did I tell you that? That's what I haven't done it in a while, but one of my favorite things to do is like if I'm going to a show and Steph's on the couch, I'll be like, have a good night, sweetie. And she's like, see you later, baby. Love you. And I go, I'll like have the door almost closed. I go, if you ever leave me, I'll kill myself. It's my favorite thing to do. It's so funny.
It's funny that you talk about having the music of Meshuggah kind of like help you or like give you those realizations, kind of get you out of your funk with the aid of Kublai Khan as well, and comparing them. Because I was doing the same thing last night on the way to the show. I was blasting Meshuggah. First, my first takeaway from it's great driving music, but I recently got an Apple Watch and I was wearing my Apple Watch and I realized not only was it affecting, making it difficult, if not impossible, for Dom to read. She likes to read in the car on the way to and from mics or shows with me. So she was not able to read because of Meshuggah distorting the aura of the car, but also it was having a physical effect on me. My heart rate got up to like 152 and I was like, I had to turn on a fucking that other album that I shared with you to like say this actually had to like give me like breathing exercise. I had to pick an album that I was familiar with, a reggae album that I could sing along with so I could control my heartbeat again, because it was giving me that. I realized not only comparing Tool and Meshuggah was the fact that it actually gave me a drug-like effect, but also in the breakdown and actually comparing them like you did with Kublai Khan, like I realized everybody in Meshuggah is kind of doing what the rhythm section is doing in Tool. Everybody is doing all of the work and they're all perfect at it. And it's kind of like, instead of having a song that builds to a crescendo kind of thing, and they have the same song lengths a lot of times, the same song structure or like feeling, let's say, but Tool has a way of easing you into it where Meshuggah kind of just goes, go on. And it's just like a bucket of water and they're just going, bleed.
Well, I guess Tool is a fun run. Meshuggah is the ice bucket challenge.
This is how I actually like summed it up in my head. Meshuggah sounds like the machinery. Sounds like the machinery that produces Tool's cover art, and Tool sounds like Meshuggah if they were Incubus. And a lot of people will give me that look. But did I ever say Incubus was bad?
No. Are we saying Tool and Meshuggah is bad?
No. Then that's what I'm saying, is the fact that I think they're just.
I'll die for Incubus. They're not bad. They're definitely can fucking rip, but they don't like to. They definitely have corny elements of that. And their first album was kind of like kind of heavy in a weird way.
Yeah, Anomaly is still one of like, I feel like one of the catchiest songs. And it's one of like, I'm like, you guys could have been doing this. Do this more. What's like, what, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm in a weird place because like you look at all these bands that got made fun of and like when we were younger, and half of them are because they had like a fucking DJ in it and shit like that. And then the other half for me are just because they're all like fucking pop punk and shit like that and emo and all this stuff. And now when you go look at fucking mainstream music, like one of the most popular artists now, Machine Gun Kelly, is just doing pop punk songs that were popular when I was in high school. And then half of all the fucking underground hardcore bands like are just a modern version of nu metal or screamo. So it's like, First off, I'm waiting on my apology from my childhood.
right? And yeah.
You know what I mean? Here's the thing. I'll just be honest. It gets exhausting being right all the time and not being shown the appreciation I deserve from just hitting. What's up, buddy? Yeah, don't hold them like that.
I got a hand under here too. I'm picking up like this.
Oh man.
Oh, poor kid.
Come on, dude.
Him? What are you talking about?
Stop.
Andy, say you like Incubus.
I already did. Put the cat down. Stop holding him like that on the podcast. I'm so sorry. I have to piss so far. I know we're almost done. I have to piss so fucking bad. We'll pause it real quick.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, we're back. I didn't actually have to piss. I just had to help Pat dispose of that cat. He choked to death.
I thought you would be into that. I thought you'd like that kind of stuff.
I do. Just come on, man. Can something be private?
Yeah, sorry. I apologize. I just figured, you know, I feel like bring the Lakers into our world. You know,
I don't always love being an open book. Sometimes I need something for me. And I got to be honest, cat killing was a private thing that I really enjoyed.
I'm very sorry about that.
So I'm really enjoying this conversation because
I know it's like ending here, you know what I mean? I know it's going to be people are going to pound off in the comments and people mm-hmm. are going to do that, but I apologize. I interrupt just to second you. I apologize.
What was I going to say? So I'm really enjoying this conversation because I was listening to them when I was in the gym today. I was trying to get, cause like I said, I didn't really listen to Tool or Meshuggah. I listened to Meshuggah now, but I never listened to Meshuggah. And so I was trying to like be as prepared as I could in the gym this morning. And I was like, listen, I'm like, it's not like bad, but it's just like both of those bands was giving me like 75% of what I needed. Like it was pretty good, but it was like what I need from a band, I just needed a little bit more. It almost, you know, like in the Kublai Khan Meshuggah version, where it was almost like, you ever see that meme where they go, I want this, and it's like, we have that at home, and it's like the home version. It almost felt like, I want Kublai Khan TX. It's like, we have Kublai Khan at home, and it's like Meshuggah. Yeah. That's kind of like the comparison for me. But sometimes you need to sort of inspect things through a different lens. You know what I'm saying? You need to inspect things. Oh, okay. So the choking gets him horny. That I thought it was, I see him snug. For the people listening, the cat's now rubbing his head because he's like, thanks for helping me bust, Pat. Pat, stop choking your cat. So now I think sometimes you need a different lens to sort of view things in. I think that happens a lot. You know what that happens a lot with is ska. A lot of people who are apprehensive to check out ska, they go like, oh, you like ska? It's all so goofy and the horns are kind of silly. And you go, hey, dickhead, we know.
You ever heard of it?
That's what's fun about it. Oh. You dumbass.
You dullard. Or, that's, you know what I would say?
That's the fun part of it.
I would also, I mean, there's also like, it is funny because it does have that connotation. But then there's also like, well, have you ever heard of fucking Link 80? Have you ever heard of fucking Against All Authority? There's other kinds of ska. Do you know what I mean? Like there's things that, there's elements of that. And this, the reason I think that this kind of this comparison came about in general was my entire life has been, people asking me or assuming not unlike Fugazi that I love or really like Tool or respect them or whatever. And most of my life until probably my 30s, I believe, is when I started to do mushrooms, like, you know, not drugs, but drugs. And into my later 20s, 30s is when I actually started experimenting more. And
wait, I'm sorry. Like, can I,
what?
Shit. Sorry, my ADD got in the way, because when you stuttered on the drugs thing on mushrooms, I totally got where you were coming from, because that is one where you go, yeah, doing drugs like mushrooms, and then there's part of you that's like, eh, they're not really drugs, but then you start tiptoeing into being like, actually, this stuff is medicine, and then you're like, not even that that's necessary, not even that there's an argument, but you're like, I feel like such a fucking hand job. It's like when comics try to say, like, this is my art. It is, but you don't say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's like an unspoken thing. Like, I don't, I'm just saying, like, the mind altering shit. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have even fucking derailed it like that. But when you start getting into that stuff, you're saying Tool and stuff like that started making more sense?
Well, no, not even that. Like, the fact that, like, I always thought, like, it's so silly to have to do drugs to go enjoy this band. And I still have the same. Even you now, as a drug doer, I still have the same takeaway with Tool.
You still feel that way. I get it more. The head tilt was me being like, why do I always interrupt? I'm jacked up, dude. I fucking PR'd my bench press and I drank a bunch of coffee. I'm jacked up and excited to talk about these bands.
I appreciate it. Enthusiasm is what I kind of felt with when I realized that I have my own. There is a Tool for me, and it is Meshuggah.
No, because I used to. So the thing you were saying like 2 seconds ago is I used to have that same thought where I was just like if you needed to enjoy a band fucked up, it kind of like lowered the band's rating in my mind. But then when I got older and I got like more of an understanding of psychedelics and stuff like that. And I am one of those people that do, I don't know what it is specifically, but I am one of those people who do believe like, not necessarily like, oh, there's multiverses or whatever. Cause that just like multiverse on its face just sounds like lazy sci-fi writing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I feel like the universe is more complicated than just, you know, what Marvel does so they can be like, what if this character was a lady?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like
what the about universe... Iron Woman?
Yeah. Mm. I feel like the universe is a little more complicated than lazy comic book writers. But I do think, because I've done mushrooms, and I remember feeling this when I did it. I do feel like when you do certain things, it's like if like when you're living your life sober, you have certain lenses on. And then when you do mushrooms, other lenses start opening up and now you're Spock. Other lenses start opening up. So like if you think about it in the context of, doing mushrooms or doing LSD. So a perfect example is a band like Pink Floyd. They obviously wrote a lot of their music when they were probably on mushrooms or LSD. So it's not necessarily to say that music is of a lower quality because you can't enjoy it sober. It's just to access the truest form of the music. Maybe it aids you to do these certain things the same way, oh, it's like to say skydiving's fucking dumb because you need a parachute. It's like, no, that's what you need the parachute to go skydiving.
It's a tool in your adventure. It's like a tool to have. It's like, camping, you need a tent. There's certain things that like, there's certain amenities that make things better. And there's complements to things that aren't necessarily just a garnish. There's something where, like, if you sprinkle a little bit of lemon zest in your sauce, oh, shit, that gives it a little bit of a kick. You know what I mean? Shit like that where you're like, adds to it.
Bro, perfect example. Vodka tonic?
Drugs are just assault.
Vodka tonic. Just a vodka tonic. Worst drink I've ever had in my life. You spritz the tiniest amount of lime in there, and he's partying.
You're like, God damn, this is the best fucking beverage ever.
But that's the perfect example almost. Because it's like in this one form, it's fucking disgusting to me. But you just need a little bit of tweaking and now you have access to something that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so then you can unlock your drug chug. And then you're like, what's your drug chug? What's the drug chug of choice for you that you enjoy? Because I personally feel like I would enjoy, even though it fucked with my heart rate and like it, just listening to it in the car while I'm driving, I would love to at least take it, maybe microdose or take some edibles and go to a Meshuggah show, because that I think I found my tool. This is my tool. And my tool is the drug that I will take when I go see Meshuggah. Because it's not a crutch. It's a tool to help you enjoy this art, because they're creating it on a different level. Like you just said, they're creating it on a different level. So you need to listen to it at that level. But Meshuggah is a band that I can still appreciate at this plane of existence, as opposed to going into one of those different planes of existence to listen to it in an altered state. So if I go see Meshuggah, when I go see Meshuggah, not if, when I go see Meshuggah, I will most likely be fucked up. So if you see me, don't startle me. Don't touch me.
I will come.
I will come. Don't choke me, because I will come. What do you think?
I'll come just like my cat.
Okay, so I won't be bringing my cat, but I will be on some kind of drugs, whether it be legal or not. I don't know what state I'll be in, like physically, but I know mentally I'll be in a fun state to enjoy some drug chug. And please share your drug chug band that you like in the comments. I think Amir might be another one. What do you think?
Amir?
I don't. They seem a little too, if I may, a little too conservative nowadays to be drug chug. You know what I mean?
What do you mean by conservative?
Don't they have like ones where they're like, we support the troops. Dun, dun, dun. You know, like.
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure. I listened to like newer Amir, and I was like, and it, like, they have almost a thing where he's just like, we back the boys in blue, bitch. It's like.
Really?
Yeah. And then they started. It's like, there's like spoken, like a spoken intro to like a couple of. Yeah. It's crazy. I'll see if I can find it. If I can include that one, I was going to put an Amir song I like in there, but if I can find that one, I'll put that one in there.
Oh, dude, you know what Amir song you got to put on? I've been actually and we'll get out of here in 1 second. I've been like fucking all about Amir lately.
I don't know if they were, right?
They were a band. Actually, this kind of goes to a conversation we could have in the future. Because there's a lot of bands that get a bad rap because they are, and every genre has their band that's like good, but it's not good if you identify as a fan of theirs. But it's that band that everyone likes, and I realize
guilty by association band.
Yeah, I realized that with Limp Bizkit evolving in the modern age, when everyone was just like, how is Limp Bizkit having this resurgence? I go, they're not. Everyone liked Limp Bizkit the whole time. That's what's happening.
Yeah, it
just wasn't cool to like them. But everyone, I'm sorry, you will find no person in this world that break stuff won't do something for them. Yeah. It just doesn't. I know for a fact that doesn't exist. And then I started to realize, I go, this might be a good conversation to have, because I realized when I was listening to Amir, because I was like, you know, Amir's actually a lot better than I realized. And then I realized, I'm like, no, they've been good the whole time. They just had a stank on them, so it wasn't cool to listen to them when I was younger. And I realized because Amir is hard, is like beat down hardcore's Limp Bizkit.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah,
every yeah. And I think that would be a fun conversation, because every genre has their Limp Bizkit.
Okay, yeah.
And I think it'd be a fun conversation to figure out who's Limp Bizkit for every genre is.
I'm writing that down. Every genre's Limp Bizkit. That is a good topic to delve into, and also something that I need to research, because I would love to.
We might need a week or two to like actually think about it.
So are we accepting that as far as new metal, the Limp Bizkit in that genre is Limp Bizkit, right? Can we just start there as a standard?
100%. Yeah.
They are their own Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's where the whole concept comes from.
Well, I just want to make sure that we have a scale that we can go from to start.
Yeah.
And I think as far as, let's see, as I don't know what genre they classify themselves as.
They're new metal.
Amir?
Oh, no, not Amir. I have to get out of here, Pat. Okay. We'll figure out this later. Guys and gals, everyone in between, thanks for hanging out. We will catch you next week. We love you. Bye-bye.